Our Lord God, hear our prayers. And during this holy season of waiting, grace us with the presence of mind to be attuned to what this season is all about and just what we are celebrating. Let us walk slowly into Advent and wait as Mary did and ponder the wondrous birth. Instead of racing to the store and becoming engulfed in the mall madness, let us walk slowly into Advent and watch for holy happenings that come to us as we journey to Bethlehem. In the midst of December darkness, open our eyes to the gift of light in our lives, the smile of a child, the hug of a friend, our family gathered, the delight of music, the aroma of good things baking, the cold wind in our faces as we walk toward the warmth of home. Let us walk slowly into Advent that we might take note of whenever and whatever God is doing in this world, even to in God-forsaken places like a stable. Let us watch where we are going as we walk slowly into Advent so that we might kneel and greet the babe with ready and restful hearts. And Lord God, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart, and those things said that may be false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the 19th verse of the Gospel of St. Luke. But Mary kept all of these things, pondering them in her heart. For a number of years, I have been haunted by today's text. But Mary kept all of these things, pondering them in her heart. I wondered if these things gave her comfort. Nearly 25 years ago, there was a woman in a congregation I served who was diagnosed with a form of leukemia, which could only at that time be treated through bone marrow transplant. Bone marrow transplants were in the early stages of development, and you had to have a living donor in order to give some of their bone marrow in order for you to have any hope of living. In the process, through chemotherapy and radiation therapy, all of your bone marrow was destroyed and you received the transplant, which took the form of a blood transfusion. And in the course of the coming days and weeks, doctors and family members would anxiously await T-cell counts to see if the bone marrow transplant took. But there was always the threat of what's called host versus graft disease or graft versus host disease when your body would reject the new bone marrow. Well, this woman was married and had four young children and was very concerned, as she rightfully should have been, with the success of the procedure. About a week before she was to go into the hospital to receive her bone marrow transplant, she appeared in my office at the doorway, and as she walked, as she stood there, I saw an aura about her that I had never seen before. And I remember saying to her, "Nancy, how can I help you?" And she said that she had a dream last night she wanted to talk to me about. And without leaving the doorway, with that aura still hanging around her, she said, "Jesus came and talked to me last night in my dream, and he told me that I was going to be okay. He didn't tell me if I was going to live or die. He just told me that I was going to be okay." I asked her how that made her feel, and she said it gave her a great sense of peace and comfort. And she says, "I know it's going to be okay." I told her to hang on to that mystical experience, that mountaintop experience, because the days coming would be hard and difficult. And indeed they were. And at the passage of time, eventually host versus graft won the battle. But she passed from this reality into the next with a sense of peace and calm that she had never had before. Sometimes memories fill our hearts with joy. Sometimes they weigh our hearts down with sadness. And I imagine that Mary experienced both. From the beginning, she knew that her son had a special destiny. But did she have any sense of how difficult the road would be that he would travel? I wonder. And I wonder if her memories her ponderings in her heart gave her comfort. In Charles Dickens' Christmas story, A Christmas Carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is haunted by past memories. At exactly the stroke of one past midnight, the ghost of Christmas past appeared to him. And in that Kairos moment, that time when heaven and earth touch, that time that the psalmist described as 1,000 years as but a day in the sight of you, O Lord, the ghost of Christmas past, the specter of Christmas past, took Scrooge on a journey to the scenes of his youth. The first scene or memory that Scrooge visited was of a boarding school where his father had sent him for some unknown reason. And in this scene, we see a young boy all alone sitting at a table, presumably at Christmas time. All of his classmates were gone. And there he sits in a darkened room. His only friends were the characters of the books that he read, Ali Abba and Robin Crusoe, and his man Friday. The second scene also took place at the boarding school, but it was a much different scene. A door burst open and a little girl runs in, a girl much younger than the boy, bounds in and throws her arm around his neck and says, "Dear, dear brother, I have come to bring you home, 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 home." And Scrooge replies, "Home, little fan?" "Yes, home," she says, "for good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. And home is like heaven." And so Scrooge goes home and is eventually found an apprenticeship. That lonely boy left behind one holiday is having a new chapter in his life opened. There are two other scenes that remain in this visit from the ghost of Christmas past. They are scenes of wounds and how he contributed to those wounds. The first scene is when he met his future fiance, Belle, at a dance at Mr. Fezziwig's party. And there he pledges his heart to her. And the ghost of Christmas past asks Scrooge, as she sees him dancing with Belle and enjoying the party, "When was the last time you danced?" And Scrooge said, "It's been a very, very long time ago." And she asked why, and he says, "Because dancing is silly, and then I had something to dance for." But the next scene finds a young, successful Scrooge and his fiancée, Belle, walking down a lane. And she confronts him about a radical change that has been overtaking him inch by inch. He had become a successful man of business, in her words. And then she turns and says to him, "Another idol has replaced me. And if it can cheer you and comfort you in time, as I would have tried to do, I must not have cause for grief." And Scrooge replies, "What idol has replaced you?" "A golden one," Belle replied. "You fear this world much too much. All your hopes have merged into the hope of being beyond the chance of sordid reproach. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall aside one by one until the master passion, gain, engrosses you." And with careful insight, Belle confronts Scrooge. "If you were to meet me today, would you have sought me out?" And she received her answer in Scrooge's pause before replying. She released him from the engagement, and Scrooge soothed his broken heart through the spirit of materialism, the golden calf around which the Israelites danced so long ago when their faith in the saving God, the freeing God, became too hard to maintain. The ghost of Christmas past confronted Scrooge about the dance that he had seen earlier and the party at Mr. Fezziwig's. She says it was just a small matter that made him smile. And Scrooge replied, "Small
"Oh, but Fezziwig," the ghost replied, "spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Maybe 3 or 4. Is that so much that he deserves praise?" And Scrooge said, "It wasn't the amount that he spent, but it was the power he had to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. The happiness that he gave is quite as great as if it cost a fortune." Memories remind us of things before, of how things were different. But they also whisper to us how things can be different again. Because you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, memories are made day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, in ways that we oftentimes do not imagine. Dr. Ron Jackson, a Methodist minister, shared a different memory. A memory of the time that he met a young girl who was at St. Jude's Ranch for Children in California. St. Jude's Ranch for Children is a home for children who cannot live with their parents because of severe abuse or neglect. They can never go back to their homes of origin, and St. Jude's becomes their home and their family, not unlike Boys Town in Nebraska. One year, a little girl who was new to the home lovingly made and wrapped Christmas gifts for all of her family members. She mailed them and was so excited when she returned, when she received a box in the mail a few days later. With anticipation, she opened the box, but her heart sunk as she found that the box contained all of the gifts that she had so carefully made and wrapped, returned to her unopened. Dr. Jackson, reflecting upon that scene, said that some wounds cut us very deep, but that our memories are what they are. We cannot change them, but we can redeem them. At St. Jude's Ranch, that little girl learned what unconditional love is. She learned what it means to be in a safe place where you can bring your hurt and brokenness. The church, too, should be a safe place where we can bring our hurt and brokenness without fear of judgment. Through the staff and the residents and counseling, she learned to trust God and to forgive her family. She learned to laugh and to play, and today she is a healthy, happy, productive young woman. It has been said that sometimes people who have suffered much come to understand much, and they learn how to love much. This is especially true if they do not turn inward into themselves. In the Gospel of John, Jesus talked about God's saving, redeeming, sanctifying, changing love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved, might find life through him." And so that is our call as individuals and as the body of Christ here on earth. We are called to redeem our past, to go into this world returning no one evil for evil or reviling for reviling, and to learn how to forgive as freely as God in Christ has forgiven us. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. There is no such thing as forgive and forget. But forgiveness does mean freeing ourselves from the chains that bind us of past experiences. It means giving up our right for revenge and moving on in the grace, the peace, the love, and the joy of God. It means being respectful and treating others as we ourselves wish to be treated. It means learning valuable lessons from the past, living in the present, and looking forward to the future that is held in the loving hands of God. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.